Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God, for the people of God. We thank you because you've kept us another week, Lord. You are a covenant-keeping God. You are faithful when we can't even be faithful. We thank you, Lord. God, your way be done today. Holy Spirit, come in and have your way today. Anoint and preach and teach through all of us. Every facet of this service, let it be to glory and edify the name of Jesus. May every person that hears or attends today, Lord, see you in us. Hear you in what we do and say, Father. Because it's all about you, it's not about us. We are just your vessels, Lord, and we thank you for that honor. Holy Spirit, open the hearts of each and every person that hears this word. Let it take root in their heart. The seed prosper and grow into something great, because we are called to be an army of God. Let us walk in the power and authority given us through our Savior, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So last week as we were here, Pastor said something that I studied on this past week, and it was the word sonship. Sonship. That stuck with me. My daily devotion on Monday was similar to that. So I was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. We're going to talk about that this week. So I want you to understand there is a scripture in the Bible, Romans 8 and 14. The King James Version says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God," now that's capitalized, that means Holy Spirit, "they are the sons of God." Sons of God. Now, there's another version. It's the Passion Translation. I like the way it reads. It says, "The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit." Did you understand that? The mature children. There is a difference. There is a difference. Just like when we are growing, our children are born and they grow. They have stages that they go through. So we have to accomplish sonship. So I wanted to give you a definition of the impulses of the Holy Spirit. It is something that is strong. It's unreflected. It's a desire to act. It is something that drives and motivates you. It is something you choose to do at the moving of Holy Spirit. It's what it says. If you're mature, you're one of those people that don't put yourself in front. Holy Spirit has his way. So in today's lesson, when we're talking about sonship, now I could give you the history of what it talks about in the Old Testament, but for the lesson today, sonship is not about a gender. It applies to male or female, the two genders God made. But rather, it is a position in the family. So I have children. Benny and I have children. They are grown adults. When I introduce you to my children, I don't say, "This is my child." I say, "This is my son," because he is a mature man who has choices and responsibilities, and he represents the family in a good way. I have a daughter. I don't call her my child. "This is just my child." No, or "This is my infant." No, she is my daughter. She has grown and matured, and she is out on her own, doing her own thing, being the woman that she is grown to be. So there is a difference when God introduces you to people. There is a difference. I don't just say, "This is my kid." No, "This is my daughter. This is my son." This shows they have responsibility and privilege in our family. When you see me, I'm a daughter of a minister, a pastor, and I reflected my father in the decisions that I made, good or bad. Growing up, being a teenager, that was not a pleasant thing because I was just a kid like everybody else was just a kid, and I did stupid things like everybody else. But my father would always say, "What are people going to think?" Because I represented him. It's the same way with your Heavenly Father. It's the same way. So Sonship, if you look it up by definition, it refers to the adoption of believers into God's family through Jesus Christ. It grants us a new identity, gives us a new relationship with God, and gives us privileges and responsibilities. So the firstborn son, generally in the Old Testament, although there was a couple exceptions, usually had the responsibility of caring for the family, the business, the patriarch of the family. They become responsible for everything. So when it come to that time that the father handed the reins over to the son, the firstborn, the son took over the business. So you didn't go and talk to daddy and talk to the son about the business dealings. No, he represented his father. And his decisions were final. So sonship is something that we strive for as Christians. Sonship. I don't want to be an infant like Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 3. He says, I can't give you meat. I got to give you milk because you're too carnal. You're just an infant, he said. You're just an infant. You don't give an infant responsibilities, nor do you give a child responsibility. Mm-mm. Nope. I already seen where decisions would have went if I told my son to go and do certain things, and how many times did he halfway not do it or not do it at all or do it totally wrong? As a child, as an adult, he's much more responsible. He has sonship now. He has sonship now. But if you go on with the definition, it said it is a gift received by faith. You're saved by faith through grace. Characterized by the new identity in Christ, the indwelling of Holy Spirit, and the inheritance of God's promises. That's what Jesus came to do for us. He brought redemption. He brought salvation. He brought restoration to our relationship with Father God. He brought the ability to have eternal life with them through resurrection. Those are the three R's I call them. The new status involves a transformation in character and conduct. And that's the process we all go through. And we go through that all of our life, I think, because none of us are perfected. And it says, as followers, we are called to reflect God's nature in our lives. So, you know what? It was so interesting to see my children because my in-laws kept my children. They didn't go to daycare. They had grandparents that kept them. And I could see the characteristics of my mother-in-law in both my children. Mannerisms. They would do certain things. And I would look and say, oh, they got that from Catherine. Oh, they got that one from Frank. My daughter come home one day, and she used a word that I just about jumped up out of my chair when she said it was not a very nice word. And I asked her one day, where did you hear that from? And she pointed the blame to her father-in-law, my father-in-law, her grandpa. And so here I am having to pick the phone up and call a 60-some-year-old man and let him know that word he thought he said under his breath his granddaughter heard and is now repeating that word to everyone around. Not a fun thing, but we are characters. Our characters are grown and mold. We're molded through what we see, what we experience, and who we're around. So that's why it's very important that, first of all, you be careful who you're with as a child of God, as part of this family. I don't want my child being trained by someone else. Do you? Nope. Nope. I have a hard enough time as it is keeping it straight. But so who you're around, what you listen to, what you see, what you hear, what you read, everything is important. It's very important. What is God's nature? It's a genetic inherited factors that influence who we are. And, you know, with our sonship comes responsibility. Oh, I love all the privileges that I have. I love what I have as a child of God. As a daughter of God, I love that I have a covenant-keeping God. We have been through some interesting things just this past week with our family, and God has proven time and time again that he is faithful to his words. They were checking my daughter for diseases that never have been in our family, and she called me and she's telling me they're checking me for leukemia, they're checking me for this, they're checking me, and I said, it's going to be okay. I know. God had already told me that was coming. Did it feel any good? Nope. Report came back. It was all negative. Praise God. Yes. We don't have an answer to what's going on, although I suspect I know what it is, and she's finally come around to that. But I had surgery Friday. God was faithful. Here I stand before you today. I was able to behave myself the last couple days and stand here. I'm still... Benny come home and I had drug the two-step ladder out, which I shouldn't have done. Don't look at me, sister, because you do the same thing. I already know. And I looked at him and I said, well, I took it out of the closet and I cleaned the blinds. You know, I hadn't done that in 10 years probably. But that day I thought I needed to. I said, I don't think it's a good idea for me to try to put it back in the closet. Maybe y'all do that. He's like, what were you doing? Girl, you had surgery yesterday. What are you talking about? Get back over there and sit down. But sometimes we're not very good children, are we? Sometimes we just do stupid things. But God is faithful. He has been a covenant-keeping God. And so far as we know, everything has been negative on what's come back. So we're going to continue that report that God says. So as a child of God, what is my responsibilities? Well, I want to grow. I want to mature. I don't want to be a child that walks around here at 20 years old walking around with a bottle and a diaper, do I? No. No. I have purpose. I have a calling on my life, and so do we all. Every child of God does. So if you look in 2 Corinthians 5, it gives you some good examples. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be partners with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever and a union between God's temple and an idol? It says he calls us that he wants to live. I want to live in you. That's an open request. I want to live in you. You still have choice. We still have that choice, right? He says, I want to walk among you. He says, I want to be your God and you be my people. He's got an invitation. Will you be my family? He's always pursuing us. He says, therefore, come out from among the unbelievers and separate yourself from them. Don't touch filthy things, and I will welcome you. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's a responsibility. That's a responsibility. As a child of God, I am responsible for maturing and growing in my faith. And let me tell you, that doesn't come easy, does it? Because, you know, we were all born into sin, right? We all have our own sinful nature. Your sin may not look like my sin, but nevertheless, it's still sin. And so when I was putting this together, God took me to Joseph's life. And we all love the story of Joseph, don't we? You see that in Genesis 37 through 49. He's a good example of maturing in sonship, isn't he? So let's examine and compare his life. Spiritual growth never comes easily. If anybody tells you that, they lied. It don't. Because Jesus himself said, if any man comes after me, he is to deny himself, take up his cross daily, Luke said, and follow me. Any of that sound good to you? No. Thank God I have the ability to do it through Holy Spirit and what Jesus has done for me. But, you know, like in the natural, children have growing pains, and we as children of God, we have spiritual growing pains. And I was looking it up yesterday, Friday, and after I was home, and I was talking about looking up growing pain and some of the treatments for growing pain, and I thought there was this cute God gave me this. It says, typically, how do they treat growing pains in the natural? The over-the-counter pain relief is the first thing. And I thought, well, yeah, that's God's presence. Get into his presence. His love is healing. It says warm baths and compresses. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. He's the fire that rained down from heaven. He has the power. He strengthens and powers. He gives you the power. Jesus said, when the power comes from on high, he says. Stretching exercises. Well, we all know about that. That's stretching your faith. He's going to stretch you out into areas that you never thought that you'd be able to operate in. You're like, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I really don't. That's when you get in his presence. You get in the presence of the Holy Spirit and you let them do their work, because then they're stretching your faith. Now, faith is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. That's Galatians 5. You have it. You just got to let it grow. Got to stretch it. And then it says, avoid excessive physical activity. And I thought this was funny because it's true of us children of God. We want to get into things and situations which are not his timing. Hardest part is to wait for God-approved activities in our lives, because he'll give you a glimpse of what is here. And you keep going, okay, let me just get over there. And he's like, no, back over here, son. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. Come on. But let's kind of look at Joseph's lives, and let's talk about how he became a very powerful man in his life, second only to Pharaoh. But it was purposeful. Everything that happened was purposeful, and it pushed him to the destiny that God had for him. So we see that he had a strong bond with his father, so much so that the other brothers were jealous. And he was the youngest. One of the younger brothers, right? He was the youngest at the time, maybe. One of the younger ones, anyways. And you know, it reminds me of our Heavenly Father. We should have a strong bond with him. Titus 3:5-7 says, he saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy, he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. John 1 says that to all who did receive him, who believed, he gave the right to become sons and daughters, children of God, who were born not of blood, but of the will of man, but of God. This verse's highlight, becoming a child of God, is a divine gift. It is not based upon human will or heritage. Do you have a strong connection with your father? See how very much our father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. That's 1 John 3:1, New Living Translation. Sonship is not based on our love. It's based on his love. He brought us into the family. I have found the more that I love him, the more that I want to obey him, the more that I want him in my life. So there's your part in that. How much do you love him? I found people who don't love God usually don't want to be sons and daughters of God. What was the first thing we remember about Joseph? He was betrayed by his brothers because they were jealous of the relationship. And when you read the story, it's very interesting because it speaks a lot about Jesus all through the story, but I won't give you all the revelation. But it's the one person spoke up and saved his life. It was Reuben. He said, no, we can't shed his blood. And they went and come back, and he was gone. And he worried that his brothers had killed him. But if it hadn't been for Jesus, who gave his life for us. But he was betrayed by family, those that were supposed to love him, those that were supposed to protect him and keep him, those that were supposed to have his best interest at heart. Isn't that interesting? How many of y'all been through that one yet? A lot of us have, yeah. It may not be the end of it, though. Sometimes you see these things. It gets easier to understand, and it gets easier to forgive and love, which is another thing that we're supposed to learn to do as children of God. But it still hurts, doesn't it? New Living Translation, 1 John 3:1. I read part of it. It says, the second part says, but the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. See how much your Father loves you. He calls you his children. But the people of the world don't understand it. So it's okay when they don't understand it. It's okay when they don't see, then they see you being God's favor on your life and how God is working things out for you, or that you can walk in peace through a storm. They don't see it because they don't know him. It's not anything to do with you. It's him. They're just seeing God in you. That, of course, is the best time for you to treat them like God and to witness to them and teach them about God. Give them the opportunity to know him through your actions. This is our opportunity to show who our daddy truly is. You ever looked at it that way? To reflect him, his character and his conduct, to reflect him. Joseph's next adventure was being sold into slavery into Egypt. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Isn't that amazing? Through endurance, find joy in your trouble, sons and daughter. It's not an easy walk, is it? No, it's not. There were times I wished I wasn't. I hid, and I still do. I catch myself hiding from being Danny's daughter, Pastor Danny's daughter. Oh, you're Pastor Danny's daughter. I could mention his name anywhere in certain circles and certain counties, and they would know who I was associated with. It's amazing. What was the next thing? He was sold into Potiphar's household. He was betrayed by an adulterer. She took a piece of his clothing as a witness. You know, sometimes we're in places and situations where we don't have a choice, and sometimes we do have a choice, and we put ourselves there. So be very careful. Be very careful about your choices, who you hang around, who you're associating with. It makes a difference. There was a part in my life when I was talking to a pastor about some things that were going on in my work, and he looked at me, he said, with no uncertain terms, he said, you need to get out of there. Twice they have accused me of being racist. Twice. And he says, you need to get out of there. And I said, I'm trying. I've been putting applications in for years. And the only job that's come up is this one. And I'm not even qualified for it. And that's the job I'm working at today. By the grace of God. It's still hard, though, because I don't understand everything. And they speak in a language I don't read. But God is keeping me and helping me through that. And I'm growing through it. But we have to always remember, we always like to quote James 4:7. It says, resist the devil and he will flee. But you got to remember the first part. It says, submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Well, the next thing that happened to him, he was put in prison. And what happened in prison? And a lot of us sitting in under my voice right now are in this spot. We are in a spot where we feel like we have been forgotten. We have been forgotten. He was put in there. Remember the chief baker and the chief butler or the cup bearer? They had these dreams. Sometimes you're put in places where God is just waiting the time for it to be right. The famine hadn't come yet, but it was coming. Pharaoh hadn't had the dream yet, but he was going to dream it. But he was put with the baker and the butler, and they each had a dream. And one was going to end up being hung, and the other one was going to be restored. Sometimes you're put in places not for yourself only, but for someone else. Sons and daughters. Sons and daughters, not infants, not children, not childlike. Sons and daughters. Look at your situation. I love that he kept his integrity through all of this, Joseph did. And God continued to bless him in each situation. But each one was moving closer and closer to his calling. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's an old song. I can see the saint that sung it in my dad's church. And she said, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Romans 5, 3 through 5, New Living Translation. And then what happened? Pharaoh's, he was forgotten about. They went on about their lives. The baker was hung. The cup holder went back to his position. But he forgot the promise that he had made to Joseph to remember him. Some of you all are in the places and you feel like it's just the mundane everything and you've gone through so much and you're just sitting here and it's just day after day. It's the same stuff over and over. But God is working it out for your good. You are not forgotten. Lisa, that word was for you. And then Pharaoh had his dream and then the baker goes, oh, wait a minute. I remember someone. God had Joseph waiting in the wings for just the right time. And I love the story, how he interprets the dreams and he tells them about the famine. And they come up with a plan and they set the feed and they put, you know, so much aside every time just so they'd have enough to get through those 7 years. And then what happens one day? His brothers show up at his doorstep because the famine had reached even to them as well. And he has the opportunity for restoration. Was he bitter? No. You know, he'd become a son. He'd understood hardship. He'd understand love. He understood trust. He understood that not everyone is perfect. And neither was he. But he clung to what he knew, which was God. And he grew and he matured. And when the opportunity came to make things right, he did it the way God wanted it done. And when he finally revealed himself to his family, he told them, he said, God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive. And to preserve many survivors. I want to be a survivor. That's a sermon within itself. You are equipped to be mature. You are empowered to do it. It is your choice. Holy Spirit abides within you. And with him comes everything we need. Love, kindness, joy, peace. All the fruits of the Spirit that lives within us. Faith. Long-suffering, temperance, all of that. You've got the word of God as a weapon against the enemy. Be careful, just the enemy, though. Gentleness, self-control is even in there. I love that. Holy Spirit is our seal, Ephesians says. You know, he can walk by, you know, used to back in the day, they put a ring on them. And when they had that ring, anything they said was good. You have the Holy Spirit as your seal. Are you going to grow and mature? It's your choice. Do you want sonship? Or do you want to be an infant constantly, having to be taken care of, having to deal with the enemy all the time? Let me tell you what, it is great when you start walking with the power and authority that God gave you through Jesus Christ. Then you can have the bad reports come back and you say, God, your will be done. I'm going to walk it out in peace because I know it, no matter what it looks like today, tomorrow, no matter how I feel, I know you're going to make it all good. Maybe I'm going to walk through this season. As I was sitting in the hospital in the bed, as they're about to take me back to the surgery, my husband says, you know, you never know who you're going to get to witness to. I said, baby, they're about to put me out. Who am I going to talk to? But it's true. You never know what situation. I was studying that you can be a light to someone else and show them God. I was studying, and I've been studying about discipleship because we're about to start a class. And I read this article by Timothy Keller. He's a pastor, and it's called The Call to Discipleship. But it is so important as a child of God for you to take this idea and apply it to your life. He said the first thing you got to do is set a new priority. That's free will. That's your choice. Do you want to be holy as I am holy? Do you want to choose to put the remote control down and read the word or listen or just sit in my presence? Do you choose me? Second thing is that you got to find your new identity, and you're not going to find it on TV. You're not going to find it in a book. You're going to find it in the book. Your new identity is in the scripture. It's in God. It's in Jesus. Jesus said, be as I am. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says you've got to learn to live a new mercy. You're not going to get it right all the time. He knows it. You know it. I know it. I've been there. There are things that I read in the book, the book, and I look at myself and I think, you know, like I taught last week about that stony heart. It's got to go. It's weighing me down. It's keeping me from what I need to do. The time is coming that I'm going to be pushed out into this area. I know God's got big things for me. He's got people that I can talk to, people that I can see, the chains broken, the enemy strongholds brought down by the word of God. But if I'm not willing to let it go, if I'm not willing to grow and mature and become a daughter or a son of God, I'm going to miss my opportunity. Do you want sonship? That's what he desires from you. He gave us Matthew 28, go and make disciples, teaching them what I've taught you. That's my interpretation. I'm not going to read it, but that's the purpose. That's what your purpose is. And you can't do that with a bottle in your mouth. You can't. It's time to grow up. It's time to set the right priorities, take on the new identity, and learn to live in his mercy. That's how you grow and mature. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that you are calling us into the deeper waters today, like you always have, Lord. But the call is even harder pressed now because the time is short. And there's so many leaving this world that need you. Help us, Lord, to be your lights. As in the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, let's not only have oil for our lamps, but let's have oil in our vessels. So that one day when we stand before you, we'll never hear the words, I knew you not, but we'll be welcomed as sons and daughters of Most High. Let this word prosper in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen.